You are now listening to the Black Girl Nerds Podcast.
Five, six, seven, eight. Holla, boys and girls, it's the BGN. Coming from the Marvel world to the DC friends. All the way from Hollywood to the PCN. She defends everyone from sleazy men. Won't apologize for spitting Shonda Rhimes. The space that we make is never colonized. We're talking games and movies and actors.
Words? Better shake your booties for Black Girl Nerds. Better shake your booties for Black Girl Nerds. Better shake your booties for Black Girl Nerds. Better shake your booties for Black Girl Nerds.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Black Girl Nerds Podcast. My name is Jamie, and this episode is hosted by Ryan. We are excited to bring to you Tamron Hall, the host of The Tamron Hall Show and notable author. She's actually here to talk about her latest book, Watch Where They Hide. It's the second installment in her crime fiction series that follows the character Jordan Manning, who readers were first introduced to in her 2021 acclaimed debut as The Wicked Watch. And we did a review of that here on Black Girl Nerds. That book became an instant crime fanatic favorite and a bestseller. Tamron Hall has 20 years of journalism experience, including 6 seasons as the host of Deadline, Crime with Tamron Hall, a series on ID, and has spent years reporting on crime and tragedies across the country. So she has a unique wealth of knowledge about the world of crime reporting and has experienced firsthand the effects of violent crime as her own sister's case remains unsolved. We are excited to talk about this book, to talk a little bit about her daytime talk show, and so much more in this riveting episode of the Black Girl Nerds Podcast, hosted by Ryan. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of the Black Girl Nerds Podcast featuring Tamron Hall.
Welcome to the Black Girl Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan, and today I want to shine a spotlight on the crime reporter, right? That journalist that is just going to follow their instinct. They don't care. They're going to run into that house for you. And I couldn't think of a better guest. Okay, she's an Emmy Award-winning host, executive producer. She did 6 seasons, y'all, on Deadline in a crime series for Investigation Discovery. Y'all know I'm a bit scary when it comes to Investigation Discovery, but I would have checked her out on this, right? She's also got 20 plus years of journalism, y'all. And now she is a writer, adding that to her credit. If you didn't check out the first book, which by the way, was called As the Wicked Watch, she now has book number 2, y'all, March 12th. We're still following the journey of Jordan Manning. It's called Watch Where They Hide. And you guys, Jordan has me on the edge of my seat. I'm like, girl, do you want to be an anchor? Is you going to go into that house so you can get that clue so we can figure this out? I don't know. It's a lot. But we're going to get back to me and Jordan. But first, I got to introduce the one, the only, Tamron Hall. Tamron, how you doing? Thank you so much
for joining me. I'm good, Ryan. So good to talk to you.
So, okay, we're going to get right into Jordan, right? Because okay. I got so many questions. You don't got enough time for all the questions I got. But just like, take the listeners into the world of Jordan Manning, right? Like, how did you, for people that don't know, how did you come up with the character?
Yeah.
You do this amazing job of always bringing journalism, investigative reporting to every medium you step into. So did you have a list of like, okay, Jordan needs to do bam, 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 as she's going through this journey?
So it all started. So first of all, thank you so much. I just love talking to you, and I really appreciate you reading the book, and I'm especially thrilled you enjoyed it. So yeah. Jordan is inspired by my life, even before Deadline Crime. I've been a reporter for, as you pointed out, a long time, and much of that has been crime reporting. Even when I started out in Dallas-Fort Worth, I was the overnight reporter. I think I had to go in at 11 at night, and I'd get off at like 8 in the morning, and nothing good happens in those hours. Yeah. And what, around, I guess, 2019, 2020, when the pandemic happened, like everybody else, I was looking for something, you know, podcasts were being created and people were, I have a guy that has started barbecuing and now he has a hugely successful barbecue restaurant. People like Tabitha Brown started, you know, and so for me, I always wanted to write a crime series. I grew up, you know, Agatha Christie, Nancy Drew and all these things. And I went into pitch meetings after the pandemic, and I said, I've got this character. She is a Black female reporter. She originally started out in forensic science, but then got called into journalism. She can't shake this forensic side of her, but she also is good at what she does in reporting and really bringing compassion to her reporting. And they said to me, there is no character like this, written by a Black woman, a Black crime solver, and it doesn't exist. I'm like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. They said, there's not a Black female journalist, crime solver, written by a Black female. And I was like, game on, bet, right? So then Jordan started to really emerge, and she's inspired by my life, but she's in her 30s and she's a tough cookie, and she's way more bold than I was in my 30s. You know, in my 30s, I was shrinking myself down because I didn't want to be the angry Black girl, or I didn't want to lose the job because I was the one Black girl in the room and I was going to be replaced by the one other that they thought, you know, so I didn't want that. Mm-hmm. I didn't want that experience. I knew I had to keep my head down to stay in the room and do the work. But Jordan is like, I'm going to do the work and I'm not keeping my head down. I'm going to say, as in the first book, where there are young Black girls who've gone missing, she stands up and speaks truth to power and calls out the missing white woman syndrome in her own newsroom. And I thought, this is a good character. She's going to bring perspective from two point of views, as a crime reporter, but also as a woman, a Black woman in the newsroom. What is her life like? And then I started layering in Ryan, life, right? What is it like when you work hard, but you also want a date, and you're at a date and he's saying, stop looking at your phone, right? So you're in your 30s, you want the right one, but you might not, you know, in your friend circle, and you have that group of friends that you have your drinks with after work, and y'all are all rooting for each other, and they are your girls. So I wanted her to have those relationships. I wanted her to be this full character who is determined to help solve these crimes, but also had way too much wine and woke up to this red wine, you know, the night before, because she was trying to forget that, you know, she just got dumped in, you know, forget that this work is tearing her limb from limb, all while trying to wear stilettos at a crime scene with her feet hurting. You know, I wanted her just to be, I wanted you to root for her. I wanted you to be pissed off at her. I wanted you to see yourself in her. And also ultimately know that this is a character who just wants justice. And I think we're all like that. We want the right side to win.
Right.
And she's a part of that.
Yeah, those stilettos, any of those things, I'm like, girl, I would just took myself out. You don't even have to worry about me getting the clues. I just took myself out just getting to the crime scene.
But that was my life. Listen, I would walk into newsrooms, right? And as a reporter, you don't get to pick what you're covering that day. You walk in and you get your assignment. Yeah. Yeah. And I would walk in, especially when I was in Chicago, and I didn't even have a full coat. I moved from Texas to Chicago. I didn't have a big coat. I remember the first day I moved to Chicago, I went to Burlington Coat Factory and they had one coat left. And I bought the last coat that was in my size. I was like, look, the Hulk will not get me today. But I would go into work and I'd have on my little high heels, my little anchor, you know, my little reporter lady outfit.
Yeah.
And then they'd say, okay, you're going to this. And you would stand on your feet for hours, or, you know, and so it was just crazy that I remember once, even there was a horrible train accident in Bourbonnais, Illinois, and it was in the middle of the night, and we were almost done with our newscast that night. So the newscast, I think, was like 10 o'clock. And then as the news was ending, they said, it's a really bad accident. You guys got to get out and go. I didn't come to work with layers on that day. I had my little suit. And, you know, they tell you to pack a little duffel bag. You never know. I hadn't packed my little duffel bag. And there I was in dead winter, you know, after this bad accident. So you don't know what you're doing that day. And I wanted the reader to see the real life world of Jordan Manning and the beats that it takes to solve a crime. And she's willing to do it. Guess I said, do things that I wasn't. She's going to knock on doors. I heard you say, I'm scared to go into some of these rooms. Jordan is not, because she is so dogged and determined to figure out who did it. And take you on the ride with her.
Yeah, and she has so many memorable lines. Like, I love how we get to hear her inner dialogue as she's going through these crime scenes. Like, one time she was talking about marriage and surrender. Like, she was having her own, like, miniature anxiety attack about her relationships. But it was like, oh, let me, I can answer this, you know, call from, like, the news director or whatever, because I need to be on air. Like, I got to find this. I was like, what? What is going on? It's like everything that she's dealing with is just, it's so layered, and it's crazy. It's exciting to see a Black woman in this role kind of go through it, because you don't get that story every day.
Yeah. No, it's true. And that's the thing that's so cool about her. You know, she's got this superpower of caring, and she uses it to bring justice. And I'm telling you, one of the reasons that it was so easy to jump into the second book. The first book got great reviews, critically acclaimed. And the one review that was triggering to me, it said something to the effect of, are we supposed to believe that she's a reporter and then she's going around solving these crimes and da 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 da? And I said, wait a minute. We believe a guy works at the Daily Planet, goes into a booth, takes off his glasses and becomes Superman. But we can't believe a Black female reporter cares enough about all of the stories to find justice and to reach the conclusion. I said, so she's not smart enough? Is that what you're saying? She's not bold enough? Wait, is that what you're saying? Wait a minute. Black girls don't do this? Is that what you're saying? Black reporter? Wait, wait, wait. And so I was like, oh, game on. Here we go again. Let's give them number two. And so now we have Jordan being contacted by a family member of a missing woman. The woman happens to be white. She lives in rural Indiana. Jordan is living her best city life and all of her friends, and she's had some success and people kind of know her name. And now she's called in to help this family find out where this missing woman is. And this requires her to compromise her own job, to make decisions that could cost her everything she's been working for. She's already got complications in the love category. Can't keep a relationship because she worked so hard. Her friends are now saying, Jordan, what do you really want to do? Do you want to be a crime solver or do you want to be a reporter? She's now got a big break. She may become an anchor, and she's putting it all on the line to figure out where this missing woman is. And she's not going to leave until she knows what happened.
Yeah, and that's the part that will definitely have you on the edge of your seats. And it's so many, like, I'm trying to think of what I can say because I don't want to give it away. I want everybody to be pulled into the world. But she, okay, so when she's dealing with this family that she's going to help out, technology takes a huge part of the story that you don't see coming. And I'm so curious to get, you know, because you have so much experience in that, since the world is going to continue, like, we're never getting rid of technology. It's going to continue to grow. Why was it important for you to highlight certain aspects or, you know, just the way journalism has changed, because you can find so much out so quickly through technology?
Well, I'll tell you, Ryan. So to be honest with you, the case is inspired by the case that Jordan is following is inspired by two cases I actually covered. And in one of the disappearances, the husband had befriended someone on a gaming system and then used a relationship to commit the most heinous act, which is killing another person. He took his own wife's life. And so that was inspired by a real case that I covered, but I've covered many similar. You know, one of the cases that I covered in Deadline Crime was a young woman who was encouraged to take her own life. And it was because she met someone in a social group online. And the group was supposed to be about people encouraging you to live and it gets better, don't give up. But unbeknownst to people in this social group online, a person who was pretending to be a nurse would peel off individual, true story, happened in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and convince people to kill themselves. And so she ended up on this group chat. The person said, hey, I'll help, you know, I'm a nurse and let me, you know, I'll encourage you and I'll be your friend. And then said, you should just take your life. Life isn't worth living. And she was already very fragile mentally and took her own life. And so I've covered a lot of really nefarious and bad things. I've covered good things. Let me be clear here. There's plenty of good on social media, but there's a lot of scary, as we know that we live in the real world. And so I took real life inspiration from a couple of stories that I'd covered where technology was in use. The other case was out of Oklahoma, where a mother, a mom-to-be, was on Craigslist, and she was to make extra money sex trafficking herself, and ended up replying to an ad on Craigslist. And it turned out the ad was placed by a man who was a serial killer. And that was a real life case that I covered. So I took real technology, real life situations that I have covered and brought it into this world of Jordan. But also, to your point, Ryan, bringing in how reporting has changed, right? Listen, I recently tried to get some tapes for my reporting in Chicago in the 90s. They were like, we don't even have machines to play those things anymore. There's no archives, right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Technology has changed in such a way that some of my early reporting, I feel like I was born in the Flintstone era. So it's like, because we like can't get anything. So now with technology, I wanted to incorporate that in the story of how you do your research now. You know, I just said on my show the other day, my talk show, when I have a guest coming on and we don't know a lot about the guest or they're being kind of cagey, I go to their social media and I literally screen to the very first thing you posted. And I can tell so much about you, both physically, how you've changed, your priorities, how you presented yourself from that very first social media post. And then I just start scrolling in reverse to see your story. But that first post, anybody listening right now, go to your very first post.
Yep.
That's what a crime reporter would do. That go to that first post.
Yeah, that's so true. It's daily. I didn't even think about that. It's basically a timeline of what you do, because you don't think about everything stays. You can't delete anything. Everything stays there. So yeah.
I'll tell you, in my years of being on TV, of course, we're always subjected to people's opinions. And once years ago, I was on the Today Show, and this woman wrote a very, like, basically called me an N-word on Twitter. And what she did, basically, she did. And just like, and she sent me a picture of a little black boy being chased by a white man with a water hose. It was a real photo. And I had time. That night, I went on her social media, Twitter, because she tweeted, and I found her. She had her where she was from in Virginia. She was a real estate agent. I kept scrolling. Sure enough, she posted her son's baseball team. Kept scrolling. Took me out. Found this house that she lived. I pieced it all together and called her job and said, "Hi, this is Tamron Hall. I just want you to know I'm not going to go public with this, but your employee called me the N-word and sent me a tag picture of a little black boy, da 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 da." And then I left her a voicemail because she's a real estate agent. And I said, "I am sure the Wildcats, her son's team, would really love to know what kind of parent they're dealing with."
Yeah.
That's what a crime reporter can find out about you.
Yeah. Yeah. So you don't
just listen on social media.
Listen, don't cross them crime reporters. I'm telling you, when the journalists get to looking on them social media pages, you get in trouble. You get in trouble. People have to watch what they say. Yes. Like, you know, there's so many ways to track people down now.
And that's what Jordan is in the world of now that I wasn't in. So with Jordan, we see this modern technology that I didn't have available to me, but also revealing to the audience. You know, there's a system called NexusLexis where you can put in somebody's name. And that's what we used when I was reporting. And you'd find out their address. You'd find out and you'd piece together their lives. So with her having this forensic science background, with her being very compassionate and passionate reporter, we get to follow her as this family is reaching out and trying to get answers. As I said, like, a great deal of this is real life, real experience from my own years out there pounding the pavement looking for answers. But it's also my opportunity also to bring this black female journalist to life and incorporate so many of the things that I watch. Like, so it's what I experience, but it's also what I watch and what I hear. Mm-hmm. So now we have Jordan. She's got a dear friend who's about to get married. And so that's a big part of, like, her wondering, like, am I paying too much attention to work? Where's my Mr. Right? And she's got a guy that she's met and they're feeling each other, but he just doesn't know where her head is and her priorities are. And she's got, you know, and we've all been there, and I'll tell you a little bit about it. She's got to go to the wedding and she doesn't have a date. And that's also, like, my friend, you know, we've been there where you're like, oh God, I've got been invited to something. I want to go and I don't want to be the only one without a date. Right. Yeah. So I wanted her to have that real life personal and professional side, because she's the kind of character I want to stick with you. I want you to want the next Jordan Manning. People have asked me, do I have to read the first one to read the second one? I'm like, no. But if you read the second one, you will want to read the first one because you're going to get to know her.
That was me. Yeah.
Because I want you to get to know her. I want you to be like, what would Jordan do? Like when you see a real life news story come up, you're like, what would Jordan Manning do?
Yeah.
How would Jordan Manning get in there? And I'm excited to have this very unique character that you could, you know, Anthony Hamilton has this song, Can You Feel Me? You know, I want people to feel her
and
root for her. And as I said, even getting mad at her when she's walking into that room, like, girl, get out of that room. Don't go in there. Leave that be. You know, I wanted her to have all of those layers of a modern young woman who has found her purpose in the world of journalism, but a bigger calling to cross that line into really some days being a vigilante.
And her following that vigilante aspect, I want to shine one more thing, one more light on it, because for me, we'll ruin the whole story and they won't get to read it. So let me just go ahead and touch on a little bit. You've been always a huge advocate to bring awareness to domestic violence, noticing the signs, noticing where you can get help, you know, how you can reach out, you know, that one little mistake, that one time you didn't check on somebody, you know, you've always tried to highlight that. And you did it very well in this book, because you don't even see it coming out. And there's such a cool twist to it, to where you present it. Why is that? Why was that important to you? And how did you kind of come out? And maybe you pull off like a real experience as well on this one. But how did you figure out how you wanted to twist and turn it, where even Jordan's like, wait, did I just hear that right? Did that just happen?
I mean, that all just came spontaneously. I have insomnia and I wanted a juicy ending. I wanted you to feel the tingles. I wanted you to go, what the hell was Tamron Hall thinking? You know, the domestic violence that comes up in the case, I really didn't, until it was done, realize that part was likely inspired by my advocacy work on behalf of people who've survived domestic violence. And specifically, and I've been very open about my own sister's unsolved murder, I never set out, Ryan, to write her story. But as I was, you know, getting to know Jordan and wanting the audience to really be concerned for this mom who's gone missing, when I was done with the book, I realized that I had touched on how I felt when my sister was found dead in her home. And again, I say this in my heart, it wasn't front of mind. I didn't plan on that. But when in this particular case, a woman has gone missing, we know, I think it's somewhere around like 45, 50, you know, more than half of the time, her disappearance is tracked to an intimate partner or someone she knew. So there was a natural arc of exploration in this. When Marla goes missing and we don't know if she's really missing or if she just got very frustrated with her life. She's married. She's got two children. She's supposed to be living this picture perfect life. And now she believes her husband may have cheated on her. And, you know, she thought she was marrying up, and that takes on a lot. And so this life that she wanted to live is not quite what she had bargained for. So we don't know if she's missing. We don't know if her husband has done what it seems to be in the news every other day, decided that it's easier to take someone's life than to get a divorce, right? So we don't know what quite's happened to her, but we know that, and I can reveal this, that Jordan is contacted by her sister. And so when I was done with the book, I realized, wow, in many ways, this character, Shelley, who's the sister of the missing woman, was probably more me than Jordan was this time around. You know, Jordan is now her own character, right? She might have been inspired by me, but as I said, she is a lot more, she's a tougher cookie than I ever was.
She's very
tough. I'm a tough cookie, you know, but I feel like, you know, when you're building these characters and you're bringing them to life, I might have set out for her to be inspired by me, but each of these characters then takes on something. I'm creating them. They have to live in me in some way. You know, even the male characters, right? There's something about them that is deep inside of, it's almost like writing a love song and saying, it's no way in the world I had a part of me. This is a, there, it's impossible. So yeah. I would lie in the bed, my writing process. You know, I'm a horrible sleeper. I sleep on, my husband says, I'm the person who wakes up at 2 a.m. and binge watches every show. But I keep a recorder near me, and things would come into my mind. And so I was crafting this ending, and I was like, well, how will this make sense? And, you know, okay, wait a minute. I don't want them to, you know, I want it to really have that thriller, exhilarating. Oh my God, let me read that page again. I want it, you know, you to escape, right? Because it's escapism. It's hard to say, I want you to have fun when it's a murder mystery, but I wanted you to have that exhilarating sensation. Yeah. And that's why it was fun to do.
And when you mentioned the male characters, I just want to say Jim and Sterling will get on your nerves, but it is so interesting the way their characters are played out. And that's all I'm going to say. I just want to touch on that when you mentioned the male characters, because I forgot to throw that out there, how well played their characters evolve and all the things you find out about them. But yeah, it's a real treat for the readers to go into that.
Oh, thank you. It was fun.
Yeah, speaking of like just kind of, you know, trying to keep it light, and you've been, like I said, you've been a journalist for so long. I think you're incredibly strong because like 9 years ago or about 9 years, I was in news broadcasting. I wasn't in front of the camera, I was behind the scenes. And I was like, listen, I got to take a step back because the world just keep getting crazier and I don't know if I can take it. But I've always seen you kind of take the realm of like, it doesn't seem like it's kind of completely changed you, but you still want to make us aware of these stories that need to be told, you know, these facts that need to be checked. You always want to give us, when I'm watching the Tamara show, I'm like, I know the celebrity's going to come back so we can get side two of the story. But how do you deal with that? I don't want to say pressure, but the darkness to not let it completely overtake you, but you still have that drive as a journalist to chase that story.
You know, that's a great question. I'll tell you, growing up, my nickname was not necessarily. I'm always very curious. I've always been precocious. I'm just one of the most attractive things I find in a partner or even in my friends. I love curiosity. And for me, that's always my North Star. In any interview, anything that I tackle, I don't often take things at face value. My friends will tell you I'm the most conspiratorial person. Yes, I believe in UFOs. I indeed do. Like my friends, I am the queen of the rabbit hole. I'm like, wait a minute. If I love you when you wake up and have 5,000 things that I've sent you articles in the middle of the night that I've read or looked at. I paused for a second because I thought my son was about to come popping in here. He might make a surprise appearance. Be prepared. But no, I believe that most people are good. So the darkness of any situation never clouds that. I think most people would help you if you need it. You know, I think most people would stop at the scene of a crime and help. Not all, most. And so for me, what I do for a living, whether it's writing, you know, the Jordan Manning series or Deadline Crime or my talk show, it's from a place of authenticity. You know, this journey that I lived was created by me. It was a gift from God. I was created by God, but the journey and the steps and the decisions are me. We have free will. And so in this free will of this journey, I've had a great opportunity to shine a light on stories. I never ask someone a question on my show where it's a gotcha. You know, I tell people, you didn't hate my question. You hated your answer. And so that's really just the driving force. You know, I've been doing this a long time and I love it. I love talking to people. I love asking thoughtful questions and I love creating thoughtful content like this book or even my talk show. There's not a single show that I do that I don't read. I mean, a lot of times people thought this book, does she really write a crime novel? Absolutely. Every word of it, every thought of it, I would construct the characters. I didn't know if it was going to be good or bad, but I wanted to step out of my comfort zone and do something different. And even in this book, whether it was a success or not, I wanted to be able to use it as an inspiration for other people to step out of that comfort zone and go try something new and do something that you never imagined you could have, whether you win or lose at it, because the win is in the doing it. And that's what Jordan Manning was for me. It was the win was in the doing part of it.
Yeah, well, you guys go support and check it out. Watch Where They Hide. Ooh, you guys ain't ready for Where They Was Hiding. I'm just telling you, March 12th, go get it. You. I wasn't ready. I was not ready, you guys.
I'm going to tell you, and I'll tell you this. I am so, I'm not often the one to bring this up, but I think it's important. I had Eric LaSalle on, the great Eric LaSalle, the actor who's written a lot. Hi. Thank you. We got a special appearance. You want to come and say hi? Okay. Okay. Oh, now you got it here. Run it. Oh, tell.
Oh, hi.
Do a plug for mommy's book. Whose name is this on this book?
Mommy.
What's mom's? Cameron Hall, and it says, Watch Where They Hide. There you go.
Oh, look, you don't even need me. That's the cutest endorsement ever. You don't even need me. But there you got. There you guys go.
Prove them wrong. There's a belief that Black readers don't read thrillers. Eric LaSalle, a brilliant actor who's written a phenomenal thriller series.
What's that?
That's the microphone. So say, come on, Black girls. Come on, Black boys. Let's show them.
So cute. So cute.
Thank you.
All right, listen, mommy duty calls. I'm going to let you go, but I just want to thank you so much for the time. This is great. Mine is all beat up and worn out. You guys can't see it, but go get your copy. March 12th, be ready. I hope we get an audio series. I hope we get like an audio track. I hope it keeps going for you.
It will keep going if y'all support it. So let's make it happen and show that Black readers love thrillers and that we buy the books and that we support the good ones.
Yes, yes.
Okay. First time my child's ever interrupted. Bye, guys.
So cute, though, but so cute.
The Black Girl Nerds podcast is produced by Jamie Broadnax. The opening theme song to our show is written and performed by Samus. Various instrumentals are performed by Samus, Sky Blue, and Shubzilla. You can find various episodes of the Black Girl Nerds podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Audioboom, Google Play Music, and Spotify.